Have you ever considered what's inside is really what matters? Age has some times of reflection. When you recall and you remember and you think back, I think Jesus is always thinking about what's inside people, because it's really what matters. A young person who has been involved in drugs, going through body, mind, and spirit depletion, having a hard time even grasping hold of living another day, but recalling home. Maybe it's a time in which the whole family, like the Owens this morning, they got the whole row filled up here. Maybe it's recalling a time which the family gathered together and were in church. Maybe they were recalling the times around the dinner table where they shared what was happening. And they remembered. They grasped onto it and hold it very close in their heart. And they make a comeback because they recalled of what took place at home and how precious home was to them. Now, others don't have that appreciation of home because it was really a living hell to be there. And they had a difficult time. But they came into a new relationship and knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that gave them the strength to live each day and to work each day and to keep every day going. I know you don't look at advertisements on TV because a lot of times it's the break to go to the bathroom or to get something to eat or to check on something or get a little something done before the program comes back on. But there was one on that I saw a week or two ago about Maytag, the washer. And it says at the end, it's what inside that matters. Wasn't that Jesus' whole approach? It's what's inside of us, our heart, our life, our mind, our soul. Isn't that what life is about? But we want to get the right things into the body, mind, and soul, and that's the reason we stress and teach and try to tell about how things can be better. John Wesley was a great organizer of people and classes and societies. They say it was phenomenal to see him work and to choose people to be group leaders. And he'd have a little group here and have another one, but he would train them and talk to them and set it up. And so they had these societies, they had these groups. And what they did in the group was they prayed. They gave money to help people that were poor, and they were very, very poor. But they gave money to help, and they held each other accountable. What sins have you committed since the last we met together? I mean, they got down to personal attacks. They didn't mince any words. They were right up in your face. And then they would hold you accountable on the street when they saw you, going wherever you were going and whatever you were doing. They were holding you accountable to their group because they loved you and cared for you and wanted so much for you in your life. John Wesley worked on means of grace. What are the means of grace that you know about in your life? What are the means of grace that you look forward to or yearn to have God to open up to you? John Wesley mentions many, and you know some in your own life. But one of the things that Wesley emphasized, he was born in 1703, lived to 1791, and in those years, of all of his years of coming of age and receiving Holy Communion, averaged 3 times a week. He came out of the Anglican church. He said, I live and die a member of the Anglican church. He never joined the Methodist church because he was in England. But he sent the lay preachers here, and they started a fire that burned, that brought people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to help people to come to know God. On the wilderness and on the frontier, they used to say, well, there's nothing out there today but crows and Methodist preachers. Because they would ride the highways and the byways and preach in homes and preach in barns and wherever they could to proclaim the word. And the average age then was in the 30s because they didn't live too long. But it was not very good anyway, from what we know in historical looking at records. But it was that fire that burned within them, because they felt that Jesus was concerned about their life, who they were, and where they were going. And so he talked to work. Wesley had those means of grace, and then all the rest of them come in, that you know them, that you touch them, and, you know, speaking to each other about conferencing, or coming to church, or reading the Bible, or praying, or meditating, or just spending a quiet time to breathe in and to breathe out and let God breathe His Holy Spirit in you. But Wesley also said that there are things that we should do to prepare this inside so that when it comes out, it will be so ugly. I mean, you know, you can keep putting things inside, and then when you let it out, it can be ugly. I mean, real ugly. A friend of mine, Wilbur Jackson, and I used to sing a song about ugly, and we'd sing it. It was a little cute song. And get tickled every time we'd see it. But but he would talk about how ugly we are and so forth, and we'd sing it in the music. And then he'd get down to the end. Little seed inside a pruin. What you doing, pruin? Stewing? Huh? Talking about a seed inside. But there's something inside of each of us that's very important. Borden Parker Bounds used to talk about that little incentive in the life. He was at a Boston Theological Seminary in the 50s, 60s. And he would talk about that little spark that was in each side of us that was God speaking to grow in our life. And God is always seeking to do that and to have us to catch fire, if you want to, or to develop that flame in your life that will make you be a person that God would want to say, that's one of my children. Wesley had these things that he wanted to teach and wanted people to come to be a part of it. Wanted them to know the Bible, to read the Bible, to meditate on the Scriptures, to share the Scriptures, to help those in need, to go to those in poverty situations, to converse with those that were in trouble, and to have a time of, you know, coming to meet Jesus, so to speak. You know, I was in somebody's presence the other day and said, this was after church, she said. And this was at the grocery store, and she said, well, I just had a little coming to meet Jesus with so-and-so in my congregation. I mean, it's talking about the Scripture. It says, you know, if you disagree with a brother in Christ, go to them and tell them. See if you can work it out. If you're calling them to task. And if that doesn't work, get some more to go with you. One or two more or three. And they use some words, these sound like lawyer words, so that they can verify what's been said. You know, somebody to listen with their ears. Because we can hear, with all we got going on, something that may not be as good as what it was. But if you have two or three that converse, and then if that didn't work, tell the whole church. You know, forgiveness is a difficult and it's very homely thing to do because it comes home. And that's what's inside of us. How do we forgive? It's tough. It's not easy. It's hard because it touches us right where we are. With our neighbor, with our friend, with our dog's cat. I mean, it's with everything. Forgiving is a difficult task. But Wesley says if we have these means of grace that are already a part of our life and touching our feathers, if we are a bird, and being with us and giving us just a little touch of it all the time, then we can deal with these things. How much God loves us that He gave His only Son for our life is what's important. But God wants to see us blossom and bloom and grow and fly like a hummingbird. He wants us to express that love to our life. Isn't it wonderful that He does? Jesus' teachings, His healing of people, just amazing as you read the scriptures and to hear it said. I was in a dinner conversation a week or two ago with a mother, a father, and three children. One was a teenager and the two were under that age of 13. And they were having what we used to call a family talking. You know, they would just get, this was after the day in the school, and evidently they'd been used to because the father would call on the child and ask him what they're doing, but they got around to talking about people with handicaps, whether they had some kind of disease or artificial limbs or. And they each described, one of them talked about being in camp with a person who had a disease, and they helped them, they assisted them. Then the other younger ones talked about being in places where they were, and in their school, they had a class of those who were handicapped, and what they did and what they saw. And then the father said, Then the father said, a person is not determined by what handicaps they have, but they are determined by what's in their heart. That does not identify them or tell who they are, no matter race, color, or creed. It doesn't make any difference. What's inside is what matters, and the person that's talking to them needs to have it inside to let it out. God's grace seeks to be lived out in our lives, no matter the circumstances. God's grace is strong. It takes over all things, and it seeks to guide us and direct us where we have not gone. I was thinking about the funeral service yesterday, and the characteristics of the person. Now, Charlie was a plain-spoken, quiet, unassuming, but he always wanted to keep it short. Said, don't talk too long and don't make my funeral too long. He was concerned about the people there, and that's the way he felt about it. And he let it be known. And others would say, well, I don't think we need to stop. I think we need to keep going because I want the Holy Spirit to touch my life. It's what is inside of you that matters. Now, you can be controlled by any way you like to do it. But when it gets out of control, it's hard to bring the reins in and bring it back unless, as Jesus was so sensitive to it, the help of the community, the help of the community of faith. You know, personal salvation is personal. But I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, to keep that and to maintain it, we need the community of faith to strengthen us and to follow us and to guide us and direct us and to sometimes say, you know, you better watch out for this. Because getting that support is what keeps us going. The community of faith, we need it. Don't ever put that down as not needing it. I'll just see God in the sunset and the rain and the wind and the snow. God needs us to be a community of faith that gives our witness, that strives to be faithful, that wants us to be at work, touching the lives of others. May we cling to that, as God always loves us and cares for us. And John Wesley was the one who would say, keep up and keep on. Now may Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, and His Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep each one of us as we seek to be His servants and disciples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us now turn in our hymnal and sing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Love Divine. Please lift up your heads. May we go forth with the Spirit of God poured out upon each of our lives. May God bless us through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and may the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God love you and care for you now and forevermore. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and everyone said, Amen.
Spirit, stir.